This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-four minutes after 11 o'clock on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, joining me now. Benjamin, my friend, always great to catch up with you. I'm excited about this matchup, this test for the Broncos. What are you hearing at this point? Maybe I missed it. J.K. Dobbins, what can you tell us at this point?
Well, he's not going to play. I'll tell you flat out, he's not going to play. So there's that, and it's probably going to be multiple weeks. They're working on it. They're trying to get one of these carbon fiber inserts for his cleat and get him to a point where he can use that and he can play. But he's going to be a no go for this weekend.
So just for the weekend, at least for the time being, and then of course the bye week. Do you expect him back after that?
Well, at some point, yes.
Yeah, at some point,
if you're
sure.
Referring to the Washington
right,
game,
yeah.
I think they're gonna test it out and sort of see where they're at, after the bye week. But I would suspect he's probably going to miss 2 to 3 games.
No, how do you think that impacts this game? I mean, obviously, when you and I talked about it last week, yeah, he had 18 carries, but it was weird how he had 18 carries. I do worry that it impacts the Broncos, but at the same time, with the way Sean Payton doesn't utilize running backs, I don't know how big of an issue that will be.
Well, you bring in little Jordan Humphrey, which seems to suggest that we're going to run even more screenplays. that's a clue there. It's weird. I mean, the Broncos' rushing attempts are 2-1 second half deals this year, and most of that is, you know, they salt away the game with 4 or 5 rushing attempts there at the end, and it makes the numbers look better, when in reality they just don't run the ball as much as they need to. Bo Nix has the second most passing attempts in the NFL right now. That is ridiculous. And then on top of that, our most targeted wide receiver is Troy Franklin. That is also ridiculous. I don't know why we're using the most inefficient way to do things at such a high volume, but, you know, until they fix that, the offense is going to continue to look bad. R.J. Harvey and Jaleel McLaughlin figure to vulture up most of the work from Dobbins. How they divvy that up, I don't know. I suspect that McLaughlin will actually get more carries because you could just sort of plug him into that first down role and not have to do more with Harvey. You can kind of keep everybody else in the same position. So I think people that are expecting a gigantic explosion from R.J. Harvey this week, I'm maybe a little more tempered on that because I think McLaughlin's going to eat into that.
Interesting. So R.J. kind of can just stay more and you know, focus on what his typical game plan would look like as opposed to trying to take on extra load.
Right. And I mean, you may get some extra carries because, I mean, he doesn't get many as it is. But I think Jaleel McLaughlin's probably going to be the first down guy.
Well, I know your answer is probably going to be something, you know, Sean Payton, lack of running the ball. But at the beginning of the season, you know, I looked at J.K. Dobbins and his injury history, and I was excited about R.J. Harvey. And I thought, OK, we might see a mix, you know, both those guys going to split carries. And as the season just progressed, we've seen less and less from R.J. on the running side of things. Which is kind of tough because I worried about this, thinking maybe J.K. was going to go down at some point. I would sure like to know who you have in R.J. Harvey when that day comes. And here we go, and I'm asking, who do we have in R.J. Harvey?
Well, that is the question. I think they know the answer to that from practice, but I think we've seen a little bit of it. And what I can say is this, I don't think R.J. Harvey's ready to be a bell cow type running back. You know, you go back, look at the tape in college, you look at what he's done in the pros, and, you know, J.K. Dobbins has elite vision. He lets the blocks set up, he's got that patience, and then he runs behind him. It reminds me of, you know, Le'Veon Bell in some ways, the way he just let the blocking set up and then took what the defense, you know, gave him. RJ's still trying to outrun his blocking, you know, still trying to be the fastest guy all the time. You see, that's why you see him bounce things to the edge. You go back and look at what he did in college. I mean, that Gus Malzahn offense, it's QB veer with running backs going outside. And so that's what he used to, you know. Wide side of the field, I'm going to boat race the defense to the edge because I'm fast enough to do that. Well, it's the pros, and you're not able to do that anymore. So, I think that's the thing. I think they've got to figure that out and kind of teach him how to be a full-on running back and not just a sprint-to-the-edge guy. And I think they're still in the process of that.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Last time out for the Chiefs, they lost a close game to the Bills, 28-21. Tight end Dalton Kincaid had 6 receptions for 101 yards and a touchdown against the Chiefs. Do you look at this game and say, maybe this is going to be an Evan Ingram type of game where he kind of finally blows up for this offense?
I mean, you know, theoretically, but then at the same time, it's Sean Payton, Bo Nix in this offense. So we're going to see a lot of Bo throwing deep balls to Troy Franklin and not connecting, right? You would hope that, you know, you look at the tape and say, okay, these things are exploitable, let's do that. But it's week to week, it's just not been that. It's spamming a bunch of wide receiver, bubble screens early on. It's deep shots down the sideline to Troy Franklin. And, until they decide, hey, look, here's these things that work for this offense, we're going to do more of those. Instead of these things that don't work, we're going to continue to experience the same sort of issues.
You know, and I get it. There's a time and place for screenplays and all that, Benjamin. But, man, I am, even if it works, I'm almost ready to say no more. Make them illegal. They're driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's tough. But it's a part of what Sean Payton does. You go back and you look at, I mean, this isn't new behavior from him. You go back and look at his time in New Orleans, and this is sort of similar to what he did back there as well. Now, they ran a slant a lot more than they run here, but beyond that, it's basically the same offense. They rotate people in. There were times where Drew Brees would be firing on all cylinders, and he'd pull him from the game and put Taysom Hill in for no reason. And, this has long been a criticism of Sean Payton. It's just the fact that you had Drew Brees that covered up for all that when he got back in there, and, you know, you don't have that now.
Yeah, certainly fascinating to see kind of the same thing kind of unfold here with the Broncos, but without that Drew Brees guy to cover it up. You mentioned, okay, so J.K. Dobbins out. Marvin Mims Jr., what are you hearing there?
Well, Marvin's going to be back for this game. He's been in concussion protocol. He's supposed to be back. He's been cleared. He's been practicing, so it looks like he's good to go, barring any setbacks. So he's going to be there, and that'll help certainly. I mean, obviously, your best athlete on the offensive side of the ball, and he gives you more than just, you know, he gives you more than just receiver looks. You can line him up in the backfield, move him around, those kind of things, give him some bump passes. So, you know, that's something that while everybody's focusing on R.J. Harvey, I'm kind of like, well, you know, Jaleel McLaughlin might get the first down stuff, and you might see Mims getting some gadget stuff that sort of eats into some of that. So that's kind of what my eye is on.
On the Chiefs side of things, it sounds like they're going to be getting their tackles back. I know Juwan Taylor was out with an ankle situation, Josh Simmons on a personal situation, but it appears, everything I'm looking at, it appears both those guys are going to be good to go Sunday.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And not that they've been particularly good, but, it appears that they'll be back. The real question isn't whether whether those guys are going to be at full strength. It's whether this officiating crew is going to call, that tackle for lining up in the backfield or jumping early like he does every play, and they just don't call it. So that's going to be interesting to watch, you know, in this matchup.
How concerned are you about that? Because I've seen that too. We've had people chiming in about, hey, it's not just the Chiefs you're playing the officials too. Is that like a legitimate concern in your mind?
Not really, and I absolutely hate that. I hate whining about officials.
I mean, I do too.
Whether they're right or wrong, I hate it. It just makes us look like losers, right? I get it. Even if the criticism is valid, you still look like a loser doing it, right? So I hate that. If we got gripes, you know, we keep those in-house in Broncos Country fandom. We don't take to the internet and all that kind of stuff and let that out, make us look like whiners doing it. At the end of the day, we do need to find a way to create pressure that the NFL puts their eye on this very obvious problem and fixes it. I'm here for that conversation, but I'm not one of these people that's going to whine about officiating ever.
I'm kind of the same way, unless it's just really, really bad, but I've kind of been the same way with this Chiefs thing. I know the jokes are out there, but I'm kind of over it, I guess. But let's talk X's and O's. What do you make of this Chiefs team? Certainly, feels like a desperate situation for them this weekend. Definitely need to win this game. Not saying that they'll miss the playoffs if they don't, but they might not win the division if they don't.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. Everybody's talking about this is a big pressure game for the Broncos. I don't think it is. I mean, if you're the Broncos and you lose this game, you're 8-3. You know, it's a little different if you rattle off a couple of losses in a row, but you lose this game, you're 8-3, you still got some winnable games, and you're still, you know, 88% to make the playoffs. You're still in the driver's seat in the division. You know, as far as that goes, I'm sure it's on Kansas City. They lose this game, they've effectively lost the division. They still be a wild card team, but you know, at 5-5, you're not catching up to 9-2 at that point. You're just not. There's not going to be an epic collapse by the Broncos and the Chargers and allow, you know, Kansas City to take the division if they lose this game. So the pressure's on the Kansas City side of things. That said, I mean, you're the Broncos. You want to win this game. You want to get this monkey off your back. You know, you did beat them. Well, you did beat the Chiefs with Russell Wilson, but that game last year doesn't count. You were playing Kansas City's backups. There were nobody's counting that. You know, that's an asterisk. So Bo Nix effectively has not beaten Kansas City in his, you know, in his short career. Part of that was the last second field goal. Part of that's the play in the backups, whatever. But you know, you need to make a statement, because it's interesting. Andy Reid, Sean Payton owned Andy Reid when he was in New Orleans and Andy was in Philly. But it's been the other side of the foot since Andy got to Kansas City. So you know, and if you're Sean Payton, you already haven't beaten Harbaugh ever since you've been here. So you can't have an offer. You can't be a guy that's constantly losing to teams in your division. You need to take this one.
Aside from the obvious with Patrick Mahomes, you know, what concerns you about this matchup with this version of the Chiefs?
So many weapons. You know, Travis Kelce isn't the same player he used to be, but he's so savvy at finding the soft spot in zone and sitting down. You know, Rashee Rice is a mismatch nightmare. He's kind of like their version of Deebo Samuel. He can do a little bit of everything, and they will have him do a little bit of everything, and he eats up the intermediate stuff. Xavier Worthy can take the top off. Hollywood Brown can take the top off. You know, they've got speed. They've got smarts. They don't run the ball particularly effectively, but they will run it to get themselves in more manageable pass situations. So you have to kind of watch out for that a little bit, not let them get explosive on you. But you know, it's tough. It's a tough team to defend. It's a tough defense to defend, and they try to stretch you horizontally and vertically, and it creates a lot of space.
Is it as simple as, hey, do what the Bills did? You got to get to Mahomes. I think he was sacked in that game 3 times, Benjamin, but hit quite a bit. I think he was hit like 15 times.
Yeah, you got to rough them up a little early. That's always been the key, and you know, I think that's the thing. You know, you don't want to send the house at him. You don't want to blitz him. But the key is to sort of play 2 high, 4 high, or combo coverage like 6 high. You know, shell defenses, and then try to get home with, you know, with 4 to 5 guys that you can. You don't really want to blitz him, but you want to get home with your base packages. And that's what has slowed Pat Mahomes down. Nothing really stops him, but that slows him down. Vic Fangio kind of laid the blueprint on that back in the day, and Vance had a hand in that. So, it'll be interesting to see if they do that. They get away from, you know, some of the 1 high stuff that they like to run. But, you know, that's the blueprint to slow them down.
Well, how do you think this one's going? You like the Broncos in this game? You like the Broncos to cover? What is it, 3.5?
I don't. I mean, the offense is going to have to turn around. You're missing your best piece. So unless there's some unforeseen thing, you know, with RJ or Jaleel or something like that, where they just take a game over and start balling out, you know, running the ball, it's going to be tough. Even here in Denver, I think it's going to be tough. Cover right now, last I saw was 3.5, so there's a possibility. I mean, I think this could be a, you know, 7-3-point game. I think it'd be closer. Just division games tend to be that way, but I think Kansas City's going to come away with a win here and have a lot of fans disgruntled.
So with that, like you said, it's not the end of the world for the Broncos. Where will your confidence be if this happens? The Broncos lose a close game to the Chiefs. Do you still look at them thinking, okay, you know what, you got Washington, you got Raiders coming up, you got Chargers again, Chiefs, Green Bay's on there, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the rest of the schedule after that? I mean, is this one of those games that would kind of deflate you? And I know you've kind of been, you've been critical of the Broncos for sure, but how do you feel about the rest of the way, assuming they lose to the Chiefs?
Well, I think it's beat how you lost. You know, the back half of this schedule's tough. I mean, it's really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, even teams that are on fraud watch like the Jags are still technically in the playoff race, right? So, you know, and Green Bay's been up and down. The only gimme game you've really got is the Raiders. The rest of those are tough games. You have never beaten the Chargers. You got Kansas City in Arrowhead on Christmas. Washington might get Jaden Daniels back by that game, by the way. You know, in a brace on that left arm, you know, left elbow. So we'll see. But if they don't get Jaden, then you kind of like your chances against Washington. If they do get Jaden Daniels, now all of a sudden we got to have a conversation about that game too. I don't think the Broncos are going to, even with an epic collapse down the stretch, I don't think they pull themselves out of playoffs. But I think there's a very real scenario where you're sitting at 8-2 right now and you wind up a 10-win football team. So you got to be careful that you don't fall into that trap.
Yeah, no, I tend to worry about the same things on that side of it with this very interesting schedule the rest of the way. Benjamin, my man, always appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll look to catch up with you next Friday.
Yeah, hope you guys are telling me how wrong I am.
I hope so. I hope so, man, but we wouldn't do that. But we do hope so.
All right.
All right, man. Texter from the 970 says, totally agree. Abolish the wide receiver screen so we can watch real football. I don't like the screen, Mike. I don't. Let's get rid of it. Let's just get rid of it.
The only I'm okay with the running back screen. Like that. Yeah, that's good.
The wide receiver screen is annoying.
Yeah. Running back screen, the regular one, that's good if you have, really aggressive defense. Keep them honest. That's good. Keep them honest. But the wide, I'm tired of saying
that. Well, we just abuse it. So many teams use it, especially college. You see it, and you see it in the NFL a lot more, and I get it. You got speed. You want to try to get easy ways to get the ball in their hands and see if you can utilize that speed, but it's just frustrating.
And if it's not working,
don't keep using it.
As a run play,
yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So Benjamin doesn't think R.J. Harvey's role is going to change much. He thinks that Jaleel McLaughlin might come in and be more of the, I hate to say bell cow with McLaughlin, but if they do that. But as Benjamin pointed out, the Broncos went out and got, and we talked about this yesterday, little Jordan Humphrey, who Sean Payton liked to throw screen passes to when he was a Denver Bronco. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. I got Ethan Bird joining us from KGWN-TV, Talk Wyoming and Fresno State. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that's Friday, so we'll give them at the end of the day. I don't know. This is a hard week. This is a very hard week, and that Wyoming-Fresno State game is, that's got me, what does Tanner say, bamboozled right now. We'll be right back.
Ryan Garrett, Tanner Schwintz. Good Morning NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.